I was speaking to some people yesterday at a cocktail lounge, which is, you should never speak to people in a cocktail lounge at a bar. It's just not worth it. Don't speak to people at a cocktail lounge. It ends up being no good for anybody. Got into some bizarre conversation. See, when you're drinking at a bar, you get into bizarre conversations that you wouldn't necessarily otherwise get into in any way, shape, or form. So this subject matter just doesn't come up. We're talking about conspiracy and conspiracy theories. And these people, there were two of them, two people and me. And they were, sorry, I sound a little nasally. It's because I have allergies this morning for some reason. They're saying to me, Ron, I hope you realize that the 9/11 thing, it was staged. I said, I know, it was staged by the terrorists. They said, no, it was staged by the United States. What else? We never really landed on the moon, ever. Okay. What else? The Earth, if you really look at it, is flat. Oh, okay. That's it. The other two, I can understand, you know, you in your head coming up with these scenarios in order to make it not what it probably is. They also said that the school shootings are staged and they never really occurred. Okay, look, let's just get something straight. There's something wrong with you. I knew there was something wrong with them all the time. When they wrapped it all up by saying the Earth is really flat, that was pretty much it. And I hadn't had a lot to drink. I know this is what they said. And I just stared at them. They knew I was just staring at them. I was scanning their bodies to figure out if they were an alien life source from another planet or whether there was some horrific accident that caused their brains to be damaged for the rest of their lives. What are you going to tell me next? Lincoln wasn't assassinated. He died from a cold. I mean, what are you going to tell? Actually, I wasn't there. I wasn't at the Ford Theater when Lincoln was shot. So I'm not sure. I don't know if the play was any good or not, if it was even worth the price. But I wasn't there. But I did live through the other stuff. And seriously? So everything that happens didn't really happen. Is that what you're telling me? Everything of significance in history that a lot of us lived through didn't happen. Didn't happen. There are some people that say that the Nazi thing never happened. Wow. But when you sum it up by saying the Earth is flat, that's showing that there's been a shift in the plates in your head to the point where you really need some extreme help and you are now a dangerous person to society. Nothing that happened of significance really happened. Thank God the president doesn't think that way, huh?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Oh, these allergies are killing me. Wow.
Whatever.
Thanks for caring. We'll be right back. morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. I do this show every single freaking weekday. Unless it's a holiday like Thanksgiving or Christmas, then you just got to give me a break. But otherwise, yeah. And here's an exciting message for my listeners. For the next 30 days, you can listen to this show for free. Okay. Anyway, that's exciting, Ron. Is that true? Yes, it is. You're listening to it now. You didn't pay anything, did you? How do you make any money, Ron? It's none of your damn business. I do all right with this, okay? God. Well, I have a doctor's appointment scheduled for next week. I'm not looking forward to it. It's not one of my favorite things. It's like going into the dealership to have your oil changed. You know they're going to find something wrong so they can make money off of you. It's the same feeling when I visit my doctor. She's a very nice woman, I'm sure. I don't know her personally. Although, as I've said many times before, it's one of the only scenarios in my life where I am asked to take off all of my clothes and she keeps all of hers on. How bizarre is that? Nonetheless, it's not the annual, it's what's called the follow-up. The follow-up actually means I haven't received much of your money in a while. It's time for you to come in and help me put my kids through college. That's the bottom line of the follow-up. There's nothing wrong with me. I went to my physical around springtime, a little bit before that, end of winter, early spring. What the hell difference does it make? About 6 months ago. And my doctor stared at me and said, for some odd, unforeseen reason, you seem to be healthy. I said, thanks for the compliment, I think. She said, you taking your medication? I said, apparently not enough. She said, what does that mean? I said, you know what I mean. She says, well, you seem to be fine. She says, keep up whatever you're doing. I personally can't understand how you're still breathing, but whatever. I said, thank you again for the vote of confidence. She says, no, well, your vital signs are fine. You seem to be vital. That's about the best we can say here. And you're good. So I'll see you in 6 months. And I said, whoa, sounds like the last date I had. Ron, I had a great time. Thanks for the dinner. It was a wonderful evening. I'll see you in 6 months. Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute now. No, she said, everything is fine. I'll see you for the follow-up in 6 months. She said, you can schedule it with the desk out front. I said, I don't schedule things with a desk. Look, if I'm so healthy and there are no health concerns, what is this follow-up thing? She says, Ron, look, your insurance covers it. It's a follow-up. Just be quiet and come back in 6 months. And I, you know, you can take this two ways. Either she cares deeply about me to the point where she can't go 6 months without seeing my face. Ron, it's been 6 months. I've been going crazy. I think about you every day. I think about your health and your welfare, and I miss your face. Just to gaze upon you once every 6 months, it's how I go on. It's how I live. Thank God you come in every 6 months. It could be that, or She is saving to put her kids through college. And without my incessantly ridiculous money foundation contributions through my health insurance organization, her kids would not be able to go to college. So I think it's the latter, although I said nothing about a latter in particular. I think that's what it is. I think she just wants my money. And then it hit me. Everybody just wants my money. Now, I don't have a lot of it, but everybody wants what I have. It's obvious. People market me day and night. When I'm eating dinner, the phone rings. I still have a house phone, by the way. Yeah, what am I, living in the 1600s? Yeah, I have a house phone. What are you going to do about it? You're going to put me down? You're going to belittle me? You're going to call me an old fart? Because I have a house phone? Hey, let me tell you something about my house phone. I don't have to charge it overnight. It's always available. And I don't think it costs me anything with my bundling. I'm involved in a bundle. You get internet, and I get TV, and I think they just throw in the phone for the hell of it. Because nobody uses a home phone, really, except me. It's the only device where I can get a clear signal. Give me a break. When I'm talking to somebody on my cell phone, if I walk 2 feet in the wrong direction, all of a sudden I'm not talking to anybody, or they're breaking up. That's a great way to break up with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, by the way. Break up with them on the cell phone. And then go to an area where the signal is going to go bad, and say, "I'm sorry, you're breaking up." What? We're breaking up? Yes, we're breaking up. Are we breaking up, or is the signal breaking up? I don't know. It could be both. Could be both. Probably both. Probably. Sorry. So I have a house phone, and whenever I pick up the fork to put the food in my mouth at dinner time, the phone somehow knows it's time to interrupt me. And the phone rings, and I pick it up, and I'm marketed by people that I've never heard of in my life. Credit card services calls me continually, and they say, "Don't hang up." This is the way they start the phone call. "Don't hang up." Well, this is a pleasant greeting. It's a pleasant greeting. "Hello? Don't hang up." God, what are we doing here? What are we doing? And this voice says, "This is credit card services. Are you spending too much, paying too much interest on your credit card? This is an important announcement. I didn't invite you to my dinner. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Stop calling me." People are always trying to get my money. They're trying to market me. They bombard me with commercials and home shopping networks and QVC and doctors asking me to come in to follow up just to say hello. I'm being bombarded. Ron, do you have SEO services? I don't know. Is that a religious thing? No, Ron, we promote your website. Oh, okay. Go on, do it. If it's free, help yourself. No, there's a big charge for it. It's hugely expensive. Oh, I see. Okay. No then. Come on, Ron. If you don't promote your website, no one's going to go. Well, apparently you did. So I guess it does work. I guess you went to my website in order to call me. So bye-bye. Have a nice day. Bye-bye. Unbelievable. My dentist calls me on a regular basis as well. My dentist apparently can't meet the rent for his office for some reason and needs me to have my teeth checked every 2 weeks, it seems like. It's not every 2 weeks. It seems like every 2 weeks. Then there's this lady who puts me in a chair, and she tells me to open my mouth, and she takes this drilling equipment, this Black & Decker power tool thing, and she starts cleaning my teeth with a power tool. And how rude. She sticks her boobs in my face pretty much. It's very rude. Very rude. And she, her oral hygiene is not great because she smells like garlic half the time. And I'm gagging. And then she asked me to do probably one of the sexiest things that I do naturally. And that's to spit in a small basin right in front of her boobs. It's just a very strange world. That's all I'm saying. It's just a very strange world. Pope Francis, whom everybody loves now, is a lovable pope. Have you gotten a lovable pope doll? It's going to be big for Christmas. Pope Francis, see what happened in Pennsylvania in the Philadelphia area, has uncovered another priest sexual scandal, where all of a sudden people are saying that I was abused by my priest. Thousands and thousands of people have said that they were abused by their priest in the Philadelphia area. And this got back to Pope Francis somehow. And now the Pope has to take a position on it. Well, in the past, the previous popes and cardinals, what they did was they just shuffled around the bad priests in order to hide them. That's collusion, obstruction of justice. Yet, you know, hiding priests that have raped people, we'll just shuffle them around like a deck of cards is what we'll do. And we'll hide them in the guise of religion, in this institution of wealth that we have formed off of the poor people. And we will hide them. This got back to Pope Francis like he's never heard of this before. The Pope is traveling to Ireland this weekend in order to address this. The Pope has given his most heartfelt apologies from the Church to the people that have been mistreated and abused by rogue priests, which have been hidden and shuffled around within the priestdom in order to protect them and to protect the scandal from getting out, which it always does get out. So the Pope is apologizing, and most people, including many in Ireland, are protesting and saying, that's not good enough, man. This has got to be a zero tolerance. If a priest abuses a child or an adult in any way, certainly in a sexual manner, we're going to hang you by whatever balls you have left. I mean, you're not above the law. You're smack in the middle of it, and you will be chastised and penalized just like anybody that doesn't wear a priest costume every day. That's what they want the Pope to say. The Pope has fallen short of actually saying that, but it'll come around. I believe Pope Francis will finally say nobody is above the law and the abuse of human beings in that manner or in any manner. This is the Pope that's supposed to be sensitive to all of this instead of hiding them in the closet like Anne Frank. I mean, come on, Mr. Pope, come on. I think the best thing about being Pope is you don't have to wake up in the morning and wonder what you're going to wear. What a freeing feeling that would be. Yeah, it's a feeling of power, probably, sure. But more than anything, it's the freedom of just not having to decide, what am I going to wear with my T-shirt? Should I wear the jeans or the faded pants? What a luxury that would be.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
I don't believe the Pope chooses anything. I believe that he has wardrobe people. A couple of cardinals. There's a lot of cardinals up there in the Vatican. And some of them are assigned to dressing the Pope. So the Pope never has to think about what he's going to wear or if it's going to match the background or anything like that. It's all taken care of for him. It's kind of like Oprah. You don't have to really make any decisions. It's all done for you. I've said so many times, Oprah doesn't exercise. She sits in a chair and she hires people to move her legs and her arms. And she loses weight, but she doesn't have to do anything. They move her body for her. Not because she's rich, but because she knows she can. You might call that some type of bizarre, awkward slavery move almost, in a very loose sense. Oprah would simply say, I'm just giving people good paying jobs. So I don't know. I don't really know how to read that. But the Pope's in the same position, man. The Pope doesn't have to do much. The Pope, I think, gets up in the morning and says, what am I going to do today? I think I'll walk to the balcony and address some people. Then I'll go back in, have some tea, make some statements, and I might as well go back to bed at that point. Sometimes he'll perform mass, and he's probably good at that by now. And then you just go back to bed. I don't know. You have to travel every once in a while, which shouldn't be too expensive, because if you travel a lot, you usually get some really good airfare rates, you know, a couple of free flights, I would assume. I really don't know. I don't think the Pope is eating peanuts on the plane. I think he's getting a full course meal. What about the Last Supper? What was the deal with that? I don't recall seeing any food on the table. And why was everybody sitting on one side of the table and nobody on the other side? It wasn't to take photographs, because they didn't have cameras back then. I think they just hired an artist to stand there with an easel. And he painted them while they didn't even eat. That, or the service was slow. They probably ordered and were waiting for the food to come. I would have gone into the kitchen and said, hey, what's the holdup here? We've been sitting at this table on one side of it for 3 hours, and where's the food, man? Let's go. What kind of place is this? I'm not coming back here. I wonder if at the Last Supper they ordered dessert. I assume so. I really don't know. What do you have for a Last Supper anyway? I would do pasta. I'd figure pasta. Because it's a fun food. There aren't too many foods that you can have fun with. You know, pasta, it's very, very tasty. It's got all the carbs and the sugars in it, and you can run a marathon after you eat some pasta. The sauce is always tasty, and you get a little protein with the meat sauce. But the great thing about the pasta is that you can play with it. You can take your fork and spoon and twirl it around and make it a little pasta noodle ball, you know? You can put it at the end of the fork and slurp it up, you know, like you're some type of animal. Pasta's fun, man. It's good times. Why aren't Chinese people really, really fat? Because all they do is eat carbs. They eat rice and noodles. And the only thing Chinese people don't eat is cheese. Have you noticed that? What's the problem? Granted, cheese wouldn't go very well with anything that is in Chinese cuisine, but it's just odd to me that there's no cheese used. Closest to come to cheese is tofu, which looks like cheese and could taste like cheese if it's near cheese, but it's not. What's your problem with cheese? I don't know. It comes from a cow. There is beef in your cuisine. Why not cheese? What's up with that? Scared of cheese? Something wrong? Got some kind of problem with cheese? Maybe cheese doesn't actually exist. Maybe we talk about cheese, but there really is no cheese. Just like the world is flat. Do you know that? Yep. That's why nobody takes really long trips. Because it's flat. You can't do it. I'm extra grumpy today.
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hello.
Hi, Karen.
Is this Ron?
This is Ron. This.
Hi.
How are you?
Hello.
Karen Slaughter is an author many, many, many times over. She's celebrated throughout the world in 120 countries and 35 million copies sold across the globe. Pieces of Her is her 18th novel. My God, 18 novels. Did you start writing when you were two?
Yeah, well, actually, 2.5.
Okay, I had that wrong. Okay. what have you always been a writer? Were you doing something previous to that?
Well, I've always loved writing. I've been writing stories since I was a kid. But, you know, when I graduated from high school, my dad, on my graduation night, he said, I'm so proud of you. Mm-hmm. I want you to know you can do anything you want with your life. You just can never, ever move back home. So I figured out really quickly I had to get a job and learn how to support myself. So I did a series of different jobs, like I painted houses and I even worked as an exterminator for a friend of my sister's. So, yeah, just all kinds of different jobs because it was really clear to me that I needed to support myself. And I wrote the entire time because I love telling stories. I love writing. I'm really passionate about that. And, you know, fortunately it worked out. Otherwise, I would still be painting houses.
I suppose so, but you'd be a good painter. Nonetheless, this latest, I think so. This latest work apparently is headed for television as well. Is that true?
Well, fingers crossed. Yes, mm-hmm. We've got a great team. The same people who worked on Big Little Lies for HBO.
Yes,
people who've been on House of Cards and Homeland are putting together the project. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Now, you seem to have a go in the area of crime dramas and cops and detective work and that kind of subject matter. What draws you to that subject?
I've always been fascinated by crime. It's the sort of novel that I love reading. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it was Encyclopedia Brown or Nancy Drew when I was a kid, or later I read True Crime, Truman Capote, right. Anne Rule. And it just seemed like a natural fit when I started to get serious about becoming a writer for me to write a crime novel. So my first novel, Blindsided, was about a serial rapist who was targeting women in a small town.
Yeah.
And that was something that I had actually seen happen when I was growing up in a small town. So, you know, you're supposed to write what you know. Yeah. But I think you should also write what you want to know. And I wanted to know about the investigation and how they found the guy.
Cool. Now, in Pieces of Her, I understand it's a story about a mother that has kind of, I wouldn't say a secret life, but you discover things about her that others hadn't.
Exactly. And, you know, this is about a mother-daughter relationship. Mm-hmm. And Andrea, who's the daughter, the book opens. She's having breakfast with her mother, Laura, in a shopping mall restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And then something really awful happens.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of running and hiding or cowering, Laura actually stands up and does something about it. Mm-hmm. And this is shocking to Andy because she's never seen her mother like this.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't know her mother had the capability of being this type of person. And through the course of the novel, Andrea realizes that not only is her mother not the person she thought she was, she's been lying to her entire life about who she is, where she came from, what her early life was like. And so the story is Andy trying to put together the pieces of her mother.
Interesting. Sounds like my mother. Not that she would stand up like that, but I didn't know much about her. Sometimes it's a generational thing. Other times it's something you don't bring forward. But I haven't read the book yet, so I'll find out what this is about. I know that you have a stance on violence, that's important to you.
Well, I think it's important in my work to show what's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's very easy to soften the language around domestic violence or sexual harassment or assault, and in some ways it gives the abuser a pass.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't know the details, then it's easy to say, oh, it wasn't that bad, or, you know, maybe this person's overreacting. Mm-hmm. And so when I chose to write my stories, I was thinking about something that was very real to me, which is my grandmother was abused by my grandfather, and it's something we never discussed. You know,
sure.
She had a black eye or a broken bone, and it was considered a private thing between her
mm-hmm.
and my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And as an adult, you know, living in the world that we live in today, it's very easy to see that that silence did not help her. It only protected him. And so when I'm writing, I'm thinking about that and thinking about honoring her story and also maybe reaching out to other women who are in the same situation.
Wow. Yeah, I was referring before to how other generations handle things differently. Now everything is so transparent that it's to the point where now we don't even know if it's true or not because there's too much information coming at us. This is a very confusing time.
Well, I think that, you know, we are all endowed with something called common sense, you know.
I don't know.
And I think that we need to be encouraged to use that. Well, I think we all have that ability. Mm. Whether or not we use it is a different thing, but
true.
I think it's there.
That's true.
I mean, it's the old thing, if something sounds too good, then it's probably not true.
Yeah.
I think we need to go back to really embracing that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, if we all have the ability of common sense, and you're absolutely right, I'm not running into a lot of people that are exercising that particular talent. But nonetheless, the book has been...
I have hope. I have hope.
Well, we all have hope. We all have... I had hope. Anyway, let's not get into that. All right. So this is highly recommended. It's available everywhere.
Yes, and if you want information, of course, you can go to my website, KarenSlaughter.com, or Facebook, Instagram, all the usual places.
Great. I'll spell Karen Slaughter because it's not the way you usually spell it. Karen is K-A-R-I-N, and then it's S-L-A-U-G-H-T-E-R, and follow her work. My God, they're very impressive what you do, and amazing, and congratulations, and I hope the TV works out. I know it will. Karen, it's a pleasure speaking to you today.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
You too.
Okay. Well, there you go. If you've learned something today, then good for you. I really wasn't paying attention myself, but whatever. Whatever. Well, I'm almost out of time. And if I go beyond my time limitation, two things happen. One is that I get severely chastised and smacked on the ass for going over. The other is that I got to assume that you're probably asleep by now. I am your white noise. That's what I am to you. Seriously. You know, what can I say? All right, that's enough. That's enough. That'll do it. That's it. And by the way, you talk way too much. You really do. I wish you'd just sit there and listen to the program and stop shouting back at me through the speakers. You know, it's a one-way media thing going on here. No matter what you say, I cannot hear you. So don't bother. I guess it makes you feel good to shout at me through the speakers, but it ain't going to work. It's not going to work. I can try all you want. I really don't care. Ladies and gentlemen, have yourselves a wonderful day. I sure hope you do. I wish you peace in everything you do. Don't sweat the stupid stuff. Sweat the important stuff. Don't even sweat that. Stop sweating. It makes you smell. And there's no reason to sweat. Sit back. Be cool. People like cool people. They don't like people that sweat. It's disgusting.